episode 253 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to clean up the Animal Crossing island you've neglected for the past few years. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about games we can't say no to. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Cora Quest and Hot Streak. Then, we talk about board games we can't resist if someone offers to play them with us. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
Recently, I got to play Cora Quest. This is designed by Dan Hughes and Cora Hughes, published in 2021, and is now published by Bright Eye Games. But I got it on Kickstarter back then. And this is a game for ages 6+. I played it with my kids and Toby. So we played it as a whole family. It's a dungeon crawling game for ages 6+. And it takes 45 minutes, 1 to 4 players. It's cooperative. And so this was cool because all the art is done by kids. Gary King is artist. But on BGG, it says Cora Hughes and Gary King are the artists. But Gary King, like, colored in all these pictures and they got lots of, like, art from kids. My kids were not old enough to make art at the time this was on Kickstarter. So their art is not in here.
Also, technically, it's all by kids and Eric Summerer since he snuck one in.
Oh, yeah.
He snuck in art that they thought was by his kid and it was not. It was by him.
Like, you can make your own characters, too. So, like, I have my kid. This was my kid made, like, a couple of drawings and wanted to make a little standee for it. I made a standee for them a while ago.
If you're not watching this episode on YouTube, you're missing out right now on seeing the adorable character.
This was a little clown. He made a little clown. There's a skeleton that I have in the expansion box. But basically, in the game, you're drawing cards that are tiles, and there's different quests. There's a quest booklet. We played the first quest because we're trying to go in order. But there's a whole book of quests. I think there's like 9 quests in here, but we played the first one. And you can play a short game or a long game. You add more tiles to the game if you have a long game. But the quests have special letter tiles, and you're shuffling it and exploring tiles on the dungeon, moving around your standees. So you, like, each character has standee, and you move around on this board. It's like basic dungeon crawling. You're attacking monsters. There's all these little monsters, goblins and orcs and stuff, and gremlins. You each have a special power too, and, like, it's pretty simple. You have, like, items that let you attack, and then there's, like, line of sight is just from a corner that you're standing in to the corner of the enemy, and you roll dice to attack them. And you can get treasures. My kids really like getting the treasures. There's treasure chests on some dungeon tiles. So, like, whenever you explore, it shows, like, where the enemies are. And sometimes there's a treasure chest. And so you put a treasure token there and you put the enemies out. And then you can go to the treasure chest and explore it as an action. So my kids really liked exploring treasure chests. Even if there were, like, enemies to fight, they would just ignore that. So, like, Toby and I were, like, doing the objectives of the quests and, like, killing the enemies, making sure we didn't die and stuff. And then my kids were, like, exploring and finding treasure chests. And so they had all the items. And, like, in our quest, it was funny because the quest was, like, there's a giant snake that was the big bad one. And we're trying to find the gnomes, I think, who disappeared, who, like, were going to find the pet snake. And so, like, they went into the dungeon and got stuck there and were rescuing them. So the stories are really cute. It has, like, a whole, in the quest book, there's, like, little paragraphs that you read each time at the beginning. And then also when one of the special tiles comes out, you read what's going on. Dan wrote the stories and they're good. So, like, the snake poisons people, which is not good. So, like, I was getting poisoned. I had, like, only 3 health left out of 10 or something, 8 or 10. And my kids had the antidote and the, like, potions that get you more health, and they used it on themselves. They were, like, at 8 health already. Like, one of my kids had a couple of damage. He's like, oh, I'm gonna use this potion that gives me 4 more health, and I'm at, like, 3 health. Okay, you can do that.
They were just like, screw you, Mom. Yeah.
Well, I think he was just worried because he got hit.
That way, I know. Yeah, but I know. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's funny because, like this is their first dungeon crawling game, and, like, they get hit and they're like, oh no, like, I'm down 2 health. I have to use this potion now. And I'm like, or you could wait, like, so that you can use the full 4. So then I think he did wait, but then he, like, used it. After he had, like, 3 health down.
It is. And it's funny because that's, like, a concept that comes naturally to us as adults to, like, maximize the value of a thing. But in a kid's head, it's like, I have a thing. I can use a thing. Just do it.
Yeah. We didn't actually get to use the antidote because my other kid had it and he never got poisoned, but I got poisoned and the one kid who used his potion also got poisoned. But then like to use the antidote, you have to be next to the person. You have to like give it to them. So he was not next to us. He was busy getting treasure, I think. But anyways, we had fun. Yeah, so we did complete the quest. And this was our first time playing like the full game. I had tried before when they were like four. We had played like a quarter of the game and not completely by the rules. But this time we were actually playing, taking turns, doing the proper actions, which is like you each take two actions on your turn. Each character does two actions and the actions are like move or attack. Or I had to keep reminding my kids like what the actions are and what they can do. And how many dice they roll, because they kept like playing with the dice when it wasn't their turn and stuff like that. But they were able to play by the rules. So that was neat. Like our game lasted an hour, I think, because it was like our first time playing. It's like 45 to 60 minutes is what it says on BGG. So I think we played the short game and it's probably like 45 minutes for the short game. If we're more comfortable playing, it took a little longer for us. But we played it and they really liked it. And after we played, I think the next day, my kid was like, I want to play Korra Quest 3 now. I'm like, I don't know why I just skipped ahead. Like, we have the expansion, but like we just played one quest and I don't even... Like, there is not a Korra Quest 3, by the way. So, for those who are listening and don't know.
Yeah.
Like, there is a Korra Quest expansion, and we do have that, but...
Korra Quest 3, the search for more Korra Quest.
Yeah. So, I think he meant like we wanted to play another quest, but even with that, we've only played the first quest. So I don't know why you skipped straight to 3 instead of like, you know, the next one, which is would be 2.
How are your kiddos with? So when I played this with my nephews, mm-hmm. my youngest nephew, he still sometimes struggles when he does seemingly poorly at a thing in a game. Mm-hmm. Like he really doesn't like losing or doing badly at something. And so when we played this the first time, if he rolled poorly, like I think it's all blanks or whatever, but you get like a token essentially if
you get determination. Yeah, you can like flip your character, you get determination over. Yeah, and then the next time you get to roll 3 dice.
Yes, and that like it was really neat, that mechanic, at least for my nephews, because I was able to be like, oh my gosh, look at this cool thing you get now. And so it was able to help mitigate that bad feeling. How are your kiddos with the dice rolls?
I think one of them actually never rolled badly. Oh, it was mostly me and Toby rolling badly too. Like Toby had like determination and just kept having it because he kept rolling blanks on all 3 of his dice. But when my other kid did roll badly, but I think he's been okay with it. Like he wasn't paying as much attention to his rolls this time because he was more focused on getting the treasure. He did get upset when like when the other kid got the treasure first. So we're like, okay, no, now it's your turn to get the treasure. And then now you're like, don't take the treasure because the other kid wants it. So like we made sure they took turns getting the treasure.
I love that like the scenario became like it was find the snake, beat the snake. And now it's, okay, take turns collecting treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, like that was their big thing this time. I think they did like defeating the baddies too, though, but yeah.
Yeah.
But their main focus was getting the treasure.
Well, I know that you were excited to like really play this with them. Yeah. So I'm so glad you guys finally got it to the table officially.
Yeah, and I'm excited to play more. Hopefully, I think they do want to play more, but it's like, it's a longer game, so it's hard to get it played. Just like randomly. We can't just say like, oh, let's play this now. We have to like set it up and be like, okay, we're gonna set aside a chunk of time to play.
Yeah, I felt bad because after I taught it to my nephews, then I left Missouri where my sister and her family live, and my nephews were constantly hounding her to play Korra Quest.
Yes.
And they played all of the scenarios and did all of the things, I guess. So I, you know, I should look into getting them the expansion. I actually have a Korra Quest promo that I got from a friend. I grabbed it and I need to give that to them, but yeah, I bet they would enjoy. I'd be like, here, Ashley, here's some more stuff for your boys to do. She'll appreciate it, obviously. But sometimes I think since she's not as gamery as me, she's like, this is more work for me.
There's also the book. Dan wrote a children's book, like a chapter book set in the universe of Korra Quest, The Quest for Annabelle Spoon or something.
I don't think I knew about this.
Annabelle and the Sorcerer's Spoon. And so it's an adventure story chapter book. It's actually the first chapter book that my kids sat through.
Ooh.
So we read that before they played Korra Quest, like all the way through, obviously. Like, we read it like last year or something, and they liked it. And it has a quest in the back of it too, which we have not played.
Oh, that's well, okay. Well, that's easy. I'm going to get that for them then, 100%.
Yeah.
So. One of them actually has a birthday coming up in the near future, so maybe that'll be something I can get for the birthday.
Yay. Yeah, so that was Cora Quest. The board game was Cora Quest that we played. The book is Annabelle and the Sorcerer's Spoon.
All right. Well, I unfortunately don't get to show anything off on the YouTube side this time, because the game I recently played, I do not own, but it is one of the hot games from last year that a whole bunch of people were talking about, and it is very highly rated on BGG, and that is Hot Streak. So Hot Streak, published by CMYK, designed by John Perry, is a racing, it's a gambling game that involves a race, and you are not the racers. The racers are just third party like characters that exist, and you and the other players are making bets trying to predict the outcome of the race. The best way I can describe it thematically is if you've ever been to a baseball game and you watch, like, in during like the seventh inning stretch, they do the like ketchup mustard relish race. I've seen different versions of this. In some versions, it's physical people in costumes on the actual like field running a race. And then in Kansas City, they often do a digital version of it where you just watch the scoreboard and it's a video, which is less exciting because obviously it's, you know, pre-programmed. There's no like drama there. But the four racers in the game are all mascots of different teams, and they all look ridiculous. One is a giant hot dog, one is like a queen, one is a bear, and one is a giant fish. And there's a deck of cards that contains movement for all four of those characters, and the decks of movement for each character are slightly different. They're not identical, so different characters can move in slightly different ways, but they're fairly similar. And at the beginning of each round, the players are all dealt out some of the cards from that deck, and then a number of the cards from that deck are set into the supply, basically, for that round. So not all of the cards that are possible will ever be played in a single round. So you do not know for sure what cards are going to come up. And like, you get to see a lot of the cards that are going in before you make your bets. So you might see like, oh, the fish only has a couple cards in the deck right now before other players add cards. So you're like, well, I don't want to bet on the fish because they're probably not going to move a whole lot. And the bets you make are, you just take these little boards that show your betting amount. And as you take bets, the boards underneath in the stack get lower in value. So if you're the first person to bet on a particular racer or on a particular thing, your bet will be worth more in the end if you win. Like, that's it. That's the whole thing. You basically, then everybody adds in a card to the deck secretly, so you don't know what everybody else added in. And then you just flip over cards from the deck and watch these mascots run a ridiculous race where sometimes they turn around, start running backwards. They like can run into each other and knock each other over. They can run off the side of the track. They fall down. It's funny. And I loved it. It is basically, it sits in the same space for me as Ready, Set, Bet, but it's lighter because you don't have to think about the betting as much or for as long. It's not the real-time betting aspect. It is not a serious game. It is not a highly strategic game. Like, you can try and make bets intelligently, but ultimately what comes out of the deck and in what order affects things drastically. Like, one of the racers can get disqualified in the first couple of turns, theoretically, and then that guy is just fourth place, and that's it. So it is very silly. If your gaming group is like hardcore serious gamers, I can confidently say do not buy this, because they're not. But if your group enjoys a fun, silly party game that isn't about like having to come up with funny prompts or, you know, improv or whatever, like if you want a party game that is not those things, this is kind of perfect for that. It is light. It is not that long to play. You do a total of three races and figure out the four spots, the four places of each racer, and then each round you add up your bet, you get money from your bets, and whoever has the most money at the end wins. And I demolished everyone. Like, I was so good at this. It was amazing. And that is not the reason I like it, but it was funny because, like, again, it's mostly luck based, but I kept being like, yep, I'm the best. Just like, and we were cheering on our, like, we were like, go mom, go, and like waiting, hoping our people would get to the finish line first, and then somebody would be near the finish line, and then they would do a 180 and turn around, and it was like, no. It's just like amazing, fun, silly moments of board gaming in spades. So yeah, if you think you'll like it based on the description, you will. Just like, oh, and it's neat. The box is a very odd shape. It is a rectangle, but it's not a normal box size. And the racing track pulls out of the box, like it you can roll it back up directly into the box, and you pull it out from the box itself. It's hard to describe. I would show it to you if I owned the game, but I do not. So, but it the whole thing, the production value is great, all the components look awesome, and it was fun to play. So yeah, I can see why so many people really enjoy this one, and I would not be surprised if this ends up getting a Blitzy from me for last year, but you know, we haven't done the Blitzies yet, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, I've been wanting to play Hot Streak because it sounds so fun. Like, I like Ready, Set, Bet. I like Winner's Circle, like the theme of that, and just like cheering on the horses and stuff. And then this sounds just like you get that cheering on, but with less thought. Easier to get played.
Well, and like at one point the hot dog turned around and was facing backwards, but then we drew the card that was negative two movement for the hot dog. Hot dog went back toward the finish line.
It's like
there are not many games where things like that happen, and so it was just delightful, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. For our thematic segment this week, we are going to talk about those games we cannot resist. The ones that if somebody's like, hey, does anybody want to play this game? We are the first to raise our hands. We are the ones that are jumping into the seat at the table. We're like, yes, please let me play this with you. Obviously, we are all adults who live in a real world where there are real responsibilities and other things going on. So while I'm calling this games we'll never say no to, of course there are always situations in which we would say no to certain games. Like when we were talking before the episode, I was like, if somebody wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and is like, play a game with me, I would be like, no, no matter what the game was. So with that caveat in mind, these are the games that really, like, in normal situations, they are hard for us to resist because we just love them that much. And they are easy to get played, because that's where the distinction, I think, comes in between this list and our favorite games of all time. Because, like, my number one game, Return to Dark Tower, I'm going to say no to that in a lot of different even gaming situations, because I have to have a lot of time and I need to have the brain power available, and I need to, you know, there's a lot of other things here. But most of the games I think that we've got on our lists are going to be a little lighter. They're not quite as strategically heavy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, for some of my favorite games, I need the right group. I need like the right mental state and a lot of time sometimes. And yeah, so like when I was thinking games that I wouldn't say no to, it's short games that are easy and like not too stressful for me. I mean, like the good kind of stress for me, not like too much thinking or whatever.
Yeah, good stress can be okay.
Yeah. So like the first one I thought of was Cross Clues, because that I actually haven't played in a while, but like that was our game ending night for a long time. Like we would play that every at the end of every game night for maybe 2024. But we were playing it because this is it's a word cooperative word guessing game, and it's real time and it's 10 minutes. So it's like, okay, we could just play. It's good. And I like the word thinking, and it's real time. So you're all like thinking of clues and guessing at the same time. And it's cooperative. So it's not like if you can't think of a clue, it's okay. Someone else is thinking of a clue at the same time. And so like there will probably always be someone who kind of has a clue, and then you can be guessing that. And it's not too bad if you take forever to think of your clue, as long as not all the people are taking forever. So yeah, like I like Cross Clues a lot.
Was there a game night where you all, like, actively decided, like, we're not going to play Cross Clues at the end of the night? Like, you know what you're saying?
I don't know,
a long time. Was there a moment where you realized, like, maybe not Cross Clues?
I'm not sure. Maybe people, like, didn't pull it out one time. I don't know.
I mean, but the fact that you can't think of it, that means, yeah, that you basically, if it was getting pulled out, it was getting played and it was happening a lot.
Yeah.
Well, kind of in the same vein for me, Just One is, mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked about it endlessly. It's cooperative. It's light. It's easy to teach. It's a word game. You can play it with friends, and sometimes that contextual knowledge about the people helps, but also you can play it with complete strangers and it still works. And sometimes you get really creative words from people, like, if you don't know them, because I think sometimes if you play with people you know too well and you're on the same wavelength, then you end up writing the same things more often. So sometimes playing with strangers is even better. But yeah, Just One is also, you can vary how long you play. You can say, okay, we're gonna play this many cards and then we're done, or you can play literally endlessly. So you're like, hey, we have nothing better to do, let's play Just One until we don't want to anymore. And I never get sick of it. I've played it in person and digitally endlessly, and I still always want to play Just One just because it's that good.
Yeah, Just One's a good one too. Yeah, like a lot of those cooperative shorter word games, I think I would say yes to.
Yeah.
It was actually hard for me to think of, like, something that I would never say no to, because I can think of times I've said no to a lot of games. But then I was thinking of things that I definitely said yes to recently. Was this isn't a board game, but escape rooms in general.
You love escape rooms.
Yeah, if like, I'm available.
You've got the time and yeah. The game exists, yeah. You're gonna play it.
But yeah, that's the problem, is like, I'm usually not available. But like, is it over New Year's? Like, our friend asked us, do you want to play an escape room like this week on New Year's? And like, my kids were home from school and it was like an escape room for adults, so the kids couldn't go. And then I was like, so like, okay, yes, we can get Toby's mom. We asked her if she could watch, and then we're like, yeah, okay, yes. And we did it. So
I love
yeah.
that though. Like, it's it's neat to have. I mean, we're obviously, anybody listening to this podcast is passionate about board games in some way, right? But it is really neat to have things in your life that you enjoy that much, that when somebody else comes to you and says, hey, do you want to do this thing? That you're just instantly like, yes, yes, please. And to know other people who feel the same way about those same things. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that delightful feeling of, oh, I love this thing so much that I'll just never turn it down.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if like any board games for me are at that level.
I mean, yeah, I think it's tough because you and I are both, like, we both have kind of logical brains to some degree that want to think about all of the weird constraints that would make something more difficult. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I'm considering, like, assuming that I have a block of time, we'll call it an hour, right? Like, maybe, or less. And I have the availability to do something. It doesn't even have to be, like, I'm sitting down to play board games, but, like, I have nothing to do and I want to do a thing. Mm-hmm. If somebody were to propose one of these board games, would I say yes?
Yeah.
Pretty much in every instance. And, like, do I have to be in the mood? And for a lot of these games, the answer is no. Like, I just, like, if somebody brings King Domino to me, I want to play it. Just because I don't have to be in a King Domino mood to play King Domino.
For me right now, that's Bomb Busters. Like, yeah, if I'm thinking, like, if we're going to be playing games, or like, well, for us, it's like when we play games, it's like a set game time. And yeah, Bomb Busters, if someone wants to play it, then yes, I will play. But I don't know if it'll still be in the future when we finish, because Bomb Busters is a campaign. After we finish all the missions, I don't know if I'll still be like always wanting to play it. And I think that happens with a lot of games, even if they are not campaigns. So like The Mind, I think I would still play now most of the time, like if someone wanted to, but like people don't bring it out as much now because we played it like a lot the year it came out. We were like playing it all the time. And then it got a little, I don't know if we got tired of it or like we beat it a lot and then like, okay. But when we bring it out more occasionally now, it's like, okay, it's still interesting and still fun to play because we can't.
The Mind is on my list as well because it creates those very small moments of tension. It's not prolonged stress. It's little bits also, of fun stress, right?
Yeah. Like, and it's also cooperative too. So like the stress is shared. Yeah, shared stress is for me is
and
better.
I love introducing that one to people who have never played it before as well, because just like all of us when we first discovered it, it's kind of novel, right? Like, it seems so simple, but they're really, if you have never played a game like that before, it's very unique. And so the experience, I like sharing that experience with other people. I don't just like playing the game. I also like watching other people play the game.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of it for me.
Yeah. And we've played it with a lot of different people. We've introduced it to a lot of people. And we actually did introduce it recently to one of our friends who we didn't realize we hadn't played it with, because I guess we didn't see him the year that we were introducing it to everyone we played with.
Then there's also a little weird category of games for me that I think are guaranteed yeses because they don't get played often enough, or they're quirky. And so they're hard to get played just because they're like, they're not games that everybody would want to play. And for me, like Rosetta, The Lost Language kind of falls into that camp. I love the game and I want to play it, but not every gamer is going to enjoy a game like Rosetta. And so if somebody wants to play Rosetta with me, abso-freaking-lutely I'm saying yes, because I don't get as many opportunities to play it. But again, it's also word-based. It's also kind of cool. Well, it's cooperative. It fills a lot of the same areas, but there are people who the idea of trying to interpret a brand new constructed language, that idea is just literally horrible to them. Nails on a chalkboard kind of stuff. And I get it. Like, I tried to teach this at a somewhat noisy meetup at a convention years ago, and I could see everyone's eyes glazing over as I tried to explain what was going on. And then I had to make a call. I was like, nope, we're putting it away. And I was really sad that I had to make that call, but I realized this was not going to go well. It just, we needed to put it away. And I've gotten better about where to bring out games like that, I think, because of that experience. I've become a little more thoughtful about not just what game, but also who and where are we? And like, there's other factors that, like, just because I really want to play a thing does not mean now is the time.
I guess that's another thing, like, on our list is a lot of the games are simple to teach.
I think that is a big factor.
Yeah. Like, if not everyone knows how to play, you might not want to teach a game to someone, even if you really want to play it.
I actually hadn't realized that yet. But yeah, looking at other games that I had written down in my notes, you're very correct that, because I think one of the hindrances that I run into in potentially not wanting to play a game isn't the game itself, it's the... Oh, I have to remember the rules well enough to explain them to another person. And that, the mental energy required to do that is a different kind of mental energy than what is required to play the game itself. I've definitely gone to our virtual game night in the Blitz Discord before, and I've specifically said, I don't care what we play, but I don't want to learn something new tonight. Like that. Like, sometimes I'm like, no, I pick whatever, but I only want to play something that I already know how to play. I don't want to learn. I don't want to teach. You know, those are different things for me. And so I guess technically all of that could fall within the, you know, I think the ways you'd say no to something, but it is what it is. But yeah, at the end of game night, if we're doing Blitz game night and I say, hey, let's play Ink and Gold, guess what? Everybody freaking says yes every single time, because Ink and Gold is one of those games where... if we have to teach it to somebody, crazy easy. The game is so fast and it, like, silly and fun and light and just a delight every time. And yeah, I don't know why it's so enjoyable, but it just is. We would love to hear from you all what games you can't say no to. So please hit us up on social media or in the Blitz Discord and let us know what games those are for you.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, BoardGameBlitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. If your board game collection needs a boost, don't forget that Blitzketeers get 10% off everything at GrayFoxGames.com, including exclusives, when you use the code BLITZ10 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Marl. Until next time, hey lady, I want to know, can we play a game? Bye everyone!
Bye.
Recently, I got to play... Whoops. Okay. All right. It looks like at least 10. And... Wait, actually, I don't know. Maybe I can't count. 3, 4, 5. I'm going to count. 7, 8. Oh. It might just be 9. because the last one's really long. Okay. Or one of them's really long. Okay. I'm just going to... Okay. Cut out that at least 10.